Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yep, got two mics. Let's see. How are you today? Good group out today. It's beautiful out there. It's a little chilly, though, isn't it? Wow, that's okay. We're going to start today with page 78. Let's stand, please. Page 78. To God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for tithes now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, cheerful springtime. Thanks for summer, winter, fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in thee tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day. Yes, Lord, it's winter and it's cold outside, Lord. Bunch of warm-hearted folks in here today, Lord. Pray for a great day, Lord, here as we listen to our pastor who's going to speak here. Thank you for our nation, Lord, the many, many problems it has, Lord. But we pray for our nation, Lord, that our leaders might somehow turn to you, Lord, for what they need in guiding our nation. Help us, Lord, to remember to pray for our leaders and to understand that they need our prayers, Lord, in a bad way. But, Lord, today we're expecting some time in your word. Pray for our pastor today, Lord. Thank you for getting him and his wife here today. And I just pray, Lord, that as we go into your word with him today, Lord, that it might touch our hearts, Lord, that something might change within us, Lord, if we need to be. Lord, I pray that if a soul needs you today, they'd get right before they leave the building. Thank you so much for this time today, Lord. Appreciate everyone here. Help us to remember to shake a hand, give a hug, Lord, or just say hi, Lord, to someone today. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Page 170, please. 170.
Say by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory unsaved, glory unsaved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory unsaved, glory unsaved. I'm saved by the blood of crucified one.
Verse 3.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father he spake and his will it was done. Great pride of the Father and his own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Oh,
the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, hail to the Spirit, the great three in one, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved, my sin. See, tonight at 6 is our evening service. We have film night tonight. We're going to watch the Forge. Is that correct? Yeah. But we're only going to see half of it tonight, and then another night, the second half. And was that it? I'm sorry. I'm just looking for answers here.
Well, I don't know the answers, but you can ask the will of the people. Is
yeah.
it fine to come tonight? Do you want to do the whole thing or split it in two?
In other words, it's
2 hours
and 3 minutes, so. You want to sit through it all? We will. If not, we'll cut it in half and do it another night. So, okay.
No,
okay. Okay. We didn't get any hands, so I guess they're all in favor. Anyway, let's see. There will be a calendar planning meeting on the 16th at 4:30 in the evening. Women's Bible study scheduled for the 11th. Personal evangelism on the 18th. Iron Sharpens Iron is also the 18th. Aspire Nursing Home Bible study is at 1:30 on February the 20th. Get your reports in for the business meeting, our annual meeting, to Deb by February 23rd. And the agenda items also are due on the same day. There are ballots due on the 2nd. Nominate committee is going to meet on the 3rd. And then our annual business meeting is the 12th. We will be meeting at the Subway by Fairway at 6 o'clock for fellowship and to pass out tracts. Pastor, do you have something?
Yes, the agenda items are not due until the 9th. That's the Sunday before.
So if you think of something more, you got a little more time there. So, guys, okay. So here, which most accurately describes you? This is Pastor's thought for the week. Murmur, 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 or rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Yes. What about it? Oh, what? Autumn has just a word or two to say here.
We have three kids that are planning to go to camp this year. There could be more. Our church traditionally has given a scholarship to kids that earn their way to camp. There's a lot of Bible camps that you can go to. The kids going this year have chosen Iowa Regular Baptist Camp. And they're still earning their way, but our church has decided to reduce our scholarship to 50%. So the church will cover 50% of the camp cost if the kids do their scholarship work. And then the other 50% is up to the families of those children. Or you can sponsor a kid to camp. So there's a jar on the table at the back on that side that's all decorated by one of the hopeful campers. And you can put your donation in there towards their camp scholarship, or sponsorship rather. Or if you want to put it in an envelope, you can put it in the offering plate. Just make sure your envelope, you can use one of the yellow offering envelopes. Just make sure that you write on there in big letters camp, and then that will be put towards the fund for camp. So if that's something you're led to do, please do that. Help these kids out. Camp is a great opportunity for kids to be away from the distraction of social media, television, even friends and family, so that way they can come alone with God. They're there with the other campers. They're there with the staff, of course, but it's a week of some independence so that they can have that time to grow in their faith with God, or even come to faith in Christ if they've never done so before. So this slide just gives a little information about camp. You can learn more at irbc.org. I'm not sure if we have camp flyers on the back table. Eventually we will. So, and if you're interested and you're not sure where to find information, come to me. I'd be happy to answer your questions. That's all.
Well, I have one last announcement.
Yep.
Or actually an amendment to an announcement. On Subway, Subway meeting at 6 o'clock. That's going to be on the 13th. That's Thursday the 13th, 6 o'clock at the Subway right over here, right? How old are Casey? Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Let's pray, folks. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day, the opportunity to be here, Lord. Our pastor is about to speak, Lord. Guide and direct him. Help him, Lord, today with what he needs. And, Lord, we're going to take up an offering today. So many things, Lord, you do for us, and we take you for granted. But this is a chance, Lord, that we can give a small portion back to you, because, Lord, we can never outgive you. Please be with the gift and the givers we do so. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. Doug has special music today. Wherever he went.
He's on his way.
Thanks, Lonnie. You got it. Thanks, Patsy.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
My exercise this morning, right? Fortunately, I feel better than I did last week. My hearing was just about gone last week, but Wednesday I got them cleaned out and eardrops to use, so I'm 100% better than last week, but I still got a little ways to go, so praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I want to dedicate this song, My Savior First of All, to our dear brother Gene Rock, who passed last week, and a little over a week ago, and wow, what a Christian gentleman he was. I so much appreciated him. You know, he talked with you, he listened to you intently, and he was a genuine person all the way. And certainly I'm going to miss, as well as the rest of us, his harmonica playing. And I think there at the visitation there was, what, 20 harmonicas on the table? Wow, at least. And his piano playing, and also he played the saxophone, come to find out. He was quite a... had some musical talent to share. So wonderful, wonderful to have him to get to know and a part of our life here at Fruitland. And yesterday I happened to saunter on down 92 after I came home from the farm. They just opened it up, the new highway, out to the Cotter little village there. I went to elementary school up to sixth grade out there. And that was a unique experience, you know. It was out, kind of out in the country, and we all treasured, remember, the recess times more than we do the classroom time, because that was when we all interacted with each other. But just all the memories, and went clear out to Ainsworth, the elevator used to be there, and, you know, my dad and grandpa farmed, and all the special times we went to go get parts there and out to Washington. So, yeah, the Lord gives us those moments to appreciate, right, the roses along the way before we get to heaven. And Gene's up there right now smelling the roses and seeing our Savior's face. He's in glory now. What a tremendous reality that is. And his music he used to bring attention to that. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His face will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul-filling rapture when I see his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for his provender and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to see my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Doug. Fanny Crosby, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. The interesting thing about Fanny, she did have sight when she was born, but she lost it shortly thereafter. And so she was looking forward to the day when we could visibly see Jesus. Yes, young folks, you can head down at this time if that's what your folks would like for you to do. We don't really know what Jesus looks like, do we? But we'll know him because of the prints. Yeah, we don't know what he looks like. But if you're born again today in Christ, you will see him. And if you are here and you are not born again in Christ, you need to be born again in Christ because you will see him too as the judge, again, who examines your record of works. And folks, the Bible is very clear on that. Works will not save us, only the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace through faith. I welcome you on that basis today. What a wonderful Savior we serve. Isn't it a wonderful day? It doesn't matter if the sun's shining or it's all plus, but it's all good, isn't it, folks? Yeah, because we know who is the author and finisher of our faith. We know the one that set this whole thing in motion. We know what happened to humanity. And we know that Jesus loves us and wants us redeemed back to himself. I welcome you on that basis today and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a good day to be alive and a good day, again, to walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. I do want to clarify a couple things, Lonnie. I don't want to tread on your toes. But seriously, if you plan to attend tonight, how many would like to do this film night? It's 2 hours and 3 minutes. How many of you would like to do it in one night or split it in half? All right, those that are in favor of one night. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. How many would like to see it split? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, we're going to split it. Probably we'll do that next week. Yeah, so that's what we'll figure on. Be here right away. We'll get right after it, and that's how we'll go from there. All right. Thank you very much for that. Anyway, the title of our message today is Accepting Responsibility and Moving Forward with a Purpose. And what we're going to be looking at today is the encounter of how Joshua was able, by God's leadership and his choosing, to lead Israel into the promised land. So we're going to be looking today for five C's in this outline. If you're going to take notes, just be prepared to jot down five little C's that will help us in the journey that God has us on. Our main text for today will be found in Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. But also, I just want to make known, beyond the film night that we talked about here, there is a book on the back table from the conference that Kim and I went to this week up at Ankeny. And it was a very good conference, very beneficial. Obviously, there are many seminars. You can't get to every seminar. You can only get to about a third or less of all that are offered. But there's a booklet back there and some other information that you might like to take a look at to see where we have been on the journey during this past week. And so, as usual, we face many things in the church environment, but we have a great God that can overcome and prosperous even in times of difficulties and challenges. So I hope that that's the attitude that we have today as well, that we want to walk with God and see what he will do and how we can follow him to get to the promised land, so to speak. But I welcome you. I welcome anyone that's visiting today. We're always glad for everyone that came through the doors here at Fruitland. We just pray that you'll leave differently. No, I don't mean not through the doors. Use the doors. But something here will challenge us today is the desire that I have anyway in our message. And it will draw us either closer to God or make it very clear that we need to be closer to him and that we're separated from him. But know this today, the love of God is available to all who will call on the name of Jesus. Friend, if you need him today, call on him. He is there and he will receive you with open arms. Anyway, we're going to take a few moments to pray silently, and then I'll finish with a pastoral prayer. So let's take this time to adjust our hearts. This is a worship time this morning, a gathering of the church. Let's steer our hearts toward the Lord for just a few seconds here in prayer and let him know how much you love him, if you do today, and how valuable he is, and acknowledge him for who he is. And then I'll follow along with a short prayer, and we'll begin our message. Let us pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we once again, through your grace and mercy, have come through another week. Lord, we just can't even fathom the greatness of your being, your personality, and the personalities that you are made up of. And yet, with you being an awesome and mighty God, which we acknowledge before your throne today, the only God, the only true God, yes, we know humanity is invented and Satan at his behest, many false gods, but you are the one and true God today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we acknowledge that today joyfully, Lord, I do anyway. And I do in my shortcomings and misgivings, Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth today. I ask your forgiveness, Lord, for my sin and that you would cleanse my heart. But I pray that that might be the case today for all of us, that it's a day that we come before your throne with thanksgiving and praise, and in an attitude, Lord, of humility. So we thank you again for all that you've done. We thank you especially, Lord Jesus, that you came at the behest of your Father and obeyed and willingly came and voluntarily surrendered your life on Calvary's cross to shed your blood and have your body broken for the sins of the world and your blood to cover those sins. And today, Lord, we want to joyfully thank you for that more than we can ever express. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we thank you for all that have come out today to join corporately together, to worship you and to be fed on your word. And Lord, to help one another today, to bear one another's burdens, Lord, to let us all know that we're in a fight together. And Lord, that we are not alone, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ, which you have ordained to come alongside and for all of us to strengthen one another as we give you praise. We pray for those today that are not here for various reasons. We know every given time we meet as a church, there are people who cannot be here or who may choose not to be here for various reasons, Lord. There could be illness, other situations in life, maybe a fight today in a family. Lord, maybe someone that's struggling with their faith. They've had to choose today between the things of the world and the things of Christ. I don't have any idea what could be going on in all people's minds and hearts, but you do, O Lord. I pray you would speak to them today. I pray as I pray for my family, Lord, daily. Lord, do what you have to do to shake people up, but please be gentle, Lord. Thank you for being gentle with me throughout my years. I pray, Lord, we get it right before it's too late. And Lord, along with that, we pray for our community and other Bible-believing teaching churches and pulpits this morning. We pray once again your word may be lifted high, that it might have an impact on our community. And Lord, I just pray that you would use Fruitland and other churches where they exist today in their localities. Lord, that we would be a magnet for people that are seeking help and hope to come through our doors. But Lord, that may not be the case. What you've told us in your word is we need to go through our doors out to them. And I pray that you would motivate us, Lord. We pray for the health and strength of Fruitland Baptist Church in the area that you have placed us. And we thank you, Lord, for putting us here where you have. Help us, Lord, to be about your business. Now, Lord, I'm apprehensive as I am every time I stand in the pulpit. It's a daunting task, and I'm not up to it, and you know that, Lord. But I pray again, you've given me that privilege and that responsibility. Help me to deliver this word plainly, efficiently, Lord, and effectively for you. Again, I can't do it, but you can only help me, Lord, if it might be your will through the power of the Spirit. Change us and speak to our hearts today from your text. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, many times when I do a little bit of the substitute teaching that I do, especially in high school, I like to challenge the students a little bit. I really do enjoy them most of the time. And I hope they enjoy me and that I do leave them with something that is a little bit different than what they would normally get in a day. But one of the questions that I ask on a semi-regular basis to different classes that I have is, what is your definition of success? Now, we're going to open this up a little bit, but if you want to comment on that, what you think the students might say, but also the challenge on this morning is what you say about success in your life and in your walk. And basically, folks, what it boils down to is there's a couple of chains of thought that affect the human heart. One of them is the flesh. So tell me a few things. What do you think is the measure in human terms of success? Well, I'll tip you off of this. Most of the things that John Brown is involved in or has, other than his wife, would not be perceived in our world as success. Okay? You know me well enough. I've never been a flashy person. And do I struggle with those things? Sure. You know, I can't say that I wouldn't deny if someone showed up with a brand new vehicle today or something like that and said, "Here you go, Pastor John, it's yours." Well, I'd be grateful for that. But like I tell most of you all the time, if I had something like that, it'd ruin my image. Right? Well, tell me, what do people in the flesh perceive as success?
The house, the car.
Yeah. By the way, Lonnie, you told me a while back a nominal home today is $400,000.
Anyway.
Yeah, million-dollar homes are common, folks. Lonnie, don't, and others that are builders, don't take me wrong when I say this, but they're not worth it. It's not the builder, it's the... We can't even believe all this stuff, how it's changed. Yeah, your home, your influence, the vehicle you drive, the size of your bank account. I was going to say the size of your wallet. Several times at the conference, some of you have seen my wallet. I think Deb Wheeler thinks that I need to get a new wallet, and I use ones, and I've had gifts come my way, but you've seen my wallet. It's that thick, and someone said, "How do you carry that in your back pocket?" Marlon, you've seen my wallet. I pulled it out up at that conference to give cards to people. I don't carry it in my back pocket. I carry it in the front. But I tell them, it's a farmer's billfold and a pastor's billfold. It's full of bills and short on money. But yeah, it's my record-keeping system. When I go to get a receipt, the wallet gets stuffed with stuff till I get ready to clean it out, put it into the stack of the records. And Kim might have comments she'd share with you about that kind of thing. But sure, the size of the wallet, the prestige, the things that are perceived as the good things of life are what attract people in the flesh. And let me tell you something, folks, and it could be the case in this room. That's where most people go today. That's success. Doug, go ahead. If you're top in your field, okay, that is very much the case. You know, people like to throw around the terms of their academic education, you know, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. You don't have to go to academia to be intelligent. You need to go to the scriptures. That's where we'll get smart. And what Psalm 90 says, we better be getting smart sooner than later. Right? Okay. Anyone else with the last one for human success?
Power.
Yeah. People crave power. By the way, there's really two chief forces. And again, I know you're all adults in here this morning. Well, some of you may not quite be, but sex and money. Power. Big influence in people. Now, what's God say about success? Are God's ways like the ways of the world? There could be someone that's dirt poor, that has the very least and minimal parts of housing. By the way, think about Bible characters. Do you have record that God really used a lot of people that were high and mighty? He might have used some that were high and mighty, but the first thing he had to do was bring them down to what? Bring them back to planet Earth, to reality. The main thing to think about in this, folks, before we really get into the meat of this, is what is the thrust of your life? Is it eternal things or temporal things? And you and I can both say the truth this morning. All of us struggle with temporal things, and that's success. But real success is what God says is success. And I'll tell you what, folks, if we meet that criteria, or our aim for that is that criteria, we will never be sorry. You know, God is good to everyone. Doug mentioned farming there earlier. I know a lot of people that today that have million-dollar combines. They have a brand new pickup in the shed. By the way, a lot of them are on government subsidies. You're helping them with that. I'm telling it like it is, folks. But I want to tell you, I want to testify to the goodness of God. He's good to everyone. People that are headed for hell because they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, God has been good to. There's going to be a lot of people with multi-million-dollar homes and possessions and everything else. They can never say the God of the Bible was not good to them. But they failed to acknowledge his goodness, folks. That's the key with all this today. If you want to be successful, these five simple C's that we'll learn this morning will help you to be successful in Christ. God may choose to prosper you and I as well, above and beyond our spiritual walk, in the things of the flesh. But never take for granted how he is operating. It's all his grace. Say, it's not because we deserve anything, because we deserve nothing. And that's what we want to remember this morning. Now, you've taken me off my script, so I better look and see where I was. But the answers that I typically get from the students are just what we talked about this morning. But rarely, if ever, do I get an answer such as doing the right thing the right way, God's way. It's foreign to people, and especially the more as we see our culture drift away from the tenets of Scripture and from God's ways. So how does God view success and prosperity? Well, the quick answer is not the way that man does, but the way that he tells us that he views it. How would you answer both sides in your own present life today? Are you living for the temporal prosperity of the world or for the eternal blessings of success in Jesus Christ? So for some help on this, on the thought about success and prosperity in God's eyes, let's look at those five C's from Joshua chapter 1:1-9, that we may also enter into God's promised land as Joshua would take the Israelites with success and prosperity personally. And also, folks, we are all a part of the body of Christ, which is known as the local church. Churches also need to struggle with this very issue of success doing it God's way or success in the ways of the world and at the behest of Satan. This is a big issue, and it's a fundamental issue in our lives. Well, this morning as we go to the book of Joshua, and we will make one diversion into the book of Numbers here on this first point. The first C that I want to give us this morning is the call. It's the call. By the way, you may not get a phone call from God, even though we played that tape here years ago. You remember that? And whenever I hear a phone go off, by the way, that doesn't bother me a bit. We all have that trouble. I wonder, is God trying to get our attention? But He is trying to get our attention. And folks, we are all on a call basis. It's not just a pastor that should be called, but you've been called by God. And if you have been born again, saved by the blood of the Lamb, you have had a calling in your life from God that has given you a purpose, and I a purpose. It goes above and beyond nominal things. It is a call that comes right from the very throne of God for what we are to do in our life. So that's what I'd like to start on again with again this morning with these five C's. But what we find here as we read Joshua 1:1-2 is that God begins to call us in times of transition. And I believe this, folks, as we look at our lives, we can point out, especially when we look into the rearview mirror, God works in our situation in times when He wants us to change. He does that personally. He does it also in the life of a church. There are demarcations as we look back to where God moved in our lives, and we either did or did not respond to Him. So a call, the first C, is very important. And in this case with Joshua, as I believe it is with all of us, it's a transitional time. Can anyone tell me what was going on in this day? Exactly, and that's what we're going to find here. Moses died, and they had messed around for 40 years in the wilderness. We talked about that in our Inquisitors class this morning in Sunday school. God wanted them. He gave them the journey and the path. He told them how to get into the promised land, and they could not get it done because they looked backwards. They did not trust God, so on and so forth. You know, no one over 20 years old, no man over 20 years old, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, who had faith, made it across the creek. I'm talking about the Jordan River. Lord, help us. Don't worry about it. But seriously, God's probably calling us today about something in our life. There's a transition going on. And God, when Moses was not able to enter the promised land, by the way, why did Moses not get to enter the promised land? Moses didn't do it the way God wanted it done. Moses was very successful, but he was not totally successful. He got to see the promised land from Mount Pisgah, but God said, you're not going to enter that because you didn't do it my way. Okay? You struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock. And so He said, you'll see it, but you won't enter it. So Moses is off the scene. You can read about all that history, but let's go to the text here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, when you see a therefore, you need to know why it is wherefore. No, it's the other way around, but you get the point here. God says, hey, you're on the spot, man. And I've called you. And you're the one that I have chosen to take this nation across the Jordan River, this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. It was a transitional time. Israel needed new leadership. They needed someone who would totally obey God. Why do you suppose God came to Joshua? Well, there's a reason, and we'll look at that here in just a minute in the book of Numbers. But Joshua and Caleb are recorded as two of the 12 spies that were sent in to spy out the promised land. And the report that he and Caleb came back with was what? Yeah, it's a rough place. Yeah, there's giants. Yes, there's challenges. But the fruit's sure good. Remember that? The grapes, one cluster of grapes, they had to have them on a pole between two guys. The blessings were there. But then you had 10 negative Nellies that said, we can't do it. See? They did not have faith. When God calls you, he calls you because of the faith and the potential for you to act upon the faith that you have in him. Not in yourself, but in him. To get the job done for God. To be successful for God. Anyway, that's exactly what happened during this transitional time. The reason that God called Joshua, this is one of the key things today, is because of his track record of faith. Joshua was a can-do in the power of God. He was not a negative Nelly. Now let's go and take a look at that quickly, because some of you may not be familiar with this, but back to the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14, we're going to just try to glean the high points here. And essentially, I've told you already the text of all this, but let's just take a look here. Beginning with verse 17 of chapter 13 of the book of Numbers. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. This is when they chose out 12 men to go and to do that. Joshua and Caleb were two of those that were chosen. Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, it says in verse 18. What it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. By the way, on success, it isn't achieved just with blind faith, but it's achieved with what? Faith, having your blinders removed. You have to see the reality of things. Did Joshua and Caleb and the others all see the reality of things? Yes, but they had a perspective of what? We can do this. And so, again, you know, God doesn't send us on a mission after he calls us in blind faith, but he wants us, again, to make wise choices, discerning what he has for us. The Bible says, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. 12 certainly was a multitude, okay? They could have had a lot of different perspective. Notice now, the Israelites messed around for 40 years, but God sent them, in verse 25, into that land to spy it out for 40 days. God has a number, and 40, he has several numbers. 40 is one of those numbers. Down to verse 27, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw children of Anak there. That's the giant. That's the Nephilim that are talked about earlier there in Genesis. Notice also in verse 23 about what I mentioned about how good the land was. And they came under the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. I could stop right now and have a few grapes. What are we thinking, though, in a cluster? They must have been the size of basketballs. Huh? One grape, one meal. Good stuff. 29, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. There's always something. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. No, that's not in there either, but trust me, they were there too. They dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. In other words, when we cross that creek, it's going to be rough. But look at what Caleb said in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up after a while. Let's go right now. Go up at once. And possess it, for we are what? We are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we will be not able to go up against the people. And they whined and they complained and they said, essentially what? We don't trust God that he sent us there. We're going to trust in human strength. We're going to look to human success rather than divine success. And notice here in verse 2 of chapter 14, and all the children of Israel murmured, complained. Folks, complaining is a sign that you are not driven for success with God. You are looking at what you need to achieve and why you haven't achieved it. You think about that a little bit today. Now, a little further in that chapter, and I have to slice and dice here a little bit, or we won't get through all of our five C's. But go down to verse 6 of Numbers 14. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. They didn't do that in that day just to keep sewing people busy, repairing ripped up clothes. It was a sign of utter disgust and anger, distress. They said, "What is the matter with these people? You just saw your God deliver you through the Red Sea with walls of water on each side on dry land." By the way, within 3 days they started to complain, and we looked at that in the inquisitor's class, because they didn't have something to drink. Anyway, they tore their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is exceedingly good land. And the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." By the way, the Bible has 365 do not fears in it. One for every day. But notice what the congregation of Israel did in verse 10, and then we'll go back over to Joshua 1. But all the congregation bade or asked the people to stone Joshua and Caleb with stones. They wanted to kill them because they had faith to do what God said. You will find that without a doubt, folks, when you attempt to do things to be successful for the Lord, you will have obstacles. And in some cases, people will even try to literally kill you when you take a stand and want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And of course, you can read, Moses interceded. He knew this was wrong. He knew they should have done what they did. But they fooled around for 40 years before we get to Joshua chapter 1. Now back to Joshua chapter 1. So the first thing God calls at a transitional time, and again, faith and obedience to God is the key to success with God and for God. Brings us to the second C this morning. It's the word challenge. The word challenge. This is found in verses 3 through 5 of Joshua 1. And here's how God challenged Joshua as the new leader. He said, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." By the way, Israel never in its existence totally occupied the lands that God gave to it. But I've got some news for you that's based on Scripture again. There's a day coming ahead when national Israel, I believe during the millennium, will occupy every bit of soil that was promised to them. And I'll tell you why they'll occupy it in the millennium. Because the God of Israel will be the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. And they will not be able to not succeed. Because God, the God of the Bible is on their side. The God of Israel is on their side. That's a day that hasn't arrived yet, but it's coming, folks. God's promises are take it to the bank. You can read about this. But what did he promise Joshua? Go to the land. And isn't that what he said in verse 3? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, basically what? I've already given it to you. It's there for the taking. I want to tell us, folks, success is there for the taking in Jesus Christ. You may not have a multi-million-dollar home. You don't need a multi-million-dollar home. Oh, I'm thinking of Bertha Reed as she was passing into the presence of the Lord up at the hospital. I said, "Bertha, you're going to be in a mansion soon." Remember that, Kim? And Bertha said, I just need a place to get in. You think about where Bertha... That's what we need, folks, but God's going to give us way more than what we need or deserve. Success is in the Lord, you know. So, here again, he says, this is the challenge, Joshua. You basically have to do what? Do what I told you. Go take the land. It's all set if you'll do it. By the way, we know the rest of the story. Joshua did it. Caleb did it. Yeah, it's all in the record. So the call. It was a transitional time. The challenge. God said, it's a challenge, but you can what? You can do it. It's all set. That's the word to us today. If you're struggling in your life and I'm struggling in mine with what God wants you to do, do it. He's told you what to do. The third C is commitment. I'd like us to look. Did I read verse 5? No, I didn't. That went along with the second point. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Notice here, God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You've heard me talk about this before in the past. There was a mobster out on the East Coast probably 20, 25 years ago. His name was Teflon Don. You know why it was Teflon Don? Because none of the charges they ever brought against him for a while would stick. This is the kind of empowerment that God gave here to Joshua. No matter the challenge, you're going to overcome it because I've set it all up before you. So you get the point now. This was the challenge that God gave him, and he said, it's a done deal. Now to the third one, commitment. This is found in 6 through 7a. And here's how God tells him to achieve this success. It's by being committed to what he told him. And here's what he says. First of all, here's the recipe. Do what? Be strong and of good courage. By the way, I think that's intermingled with faith. You know, I found these things in my life, things that seem impossible, you do it, and God somehow sees you through it. But he's not going to bless a lack of faith when you say, I can't. It's like the train thing. I think I can. You know, if you look at the base of the mountain and say, I can't do it, there's no blessing there, but he will bless us. If we do, he says, be strong and very courageous. By the way, that's how we need to be in our faith today. Not obnoxious. Strong, trusting God and having courage to go out for the Lord. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest, and read it to me, class, in the King James, that thou mayest. Isn't this what these young students are telling me in high school? They want to be prosperous? But did God tell Joshua he was going to fill his pockets with money? By the way, if you go to the end of the whole thing, Joshua says, but you know, the Israelites didn't want to do it again after they'd been over there. They made mistakes. But Joshua still said at the end what he said at the beginning. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Israel turned on these things too, and that's what got them into trouble. But Joshua was told by God, do it my way. Don't go off on the right. I mean, to the left or to the right. I'll get that right. That's opposite for you. I was really right the first time. And you will prosper wherever you go. So he's telling us here that commitment to his ways are what are going to be the key to having a victory and to accomplishing success and prosperity in the eyes of God. The fourth thing, the C that he gives to Joshua, is his commandment. Let's look at the first part of verse 8 and also 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There's the commandment. 1:8a. Chapter 1, verse 8a. By the way, what can hinder our success? Well, turning from what God commands, fear, discouragement, you name all kinds of things. But God told him, he says, the book of the law, my law, is what needs to be primarily in focus at all times. Folks, I believe that's the case with us today. If you want success in God, you got to keep it in the lines of the law. What I mean by that is the law book that God has given us, his Bible, his rules. His rules will produce success in the lives of people. Also, verse 9 goes along with this. Have I not commanded thee? There it is. There's the word, command. He said, is this the facts? Joshua is saying, yes. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. I would translate that discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. By the way, one of the things that came to mind, most times of people God sent out, there was a period in their life after they received the call, they received the challenge, they received the commitment, they received the commandment, but at some point in time, take Elijah, for example, we get a little discouraged, we get off focus, we become dismayed, and we want to what? We become fearful, and we want to back down. Don't do that. Don't do it, John. Don't you folks do it. Let's do it for Jesus, trusting him with what he's told us to do. And God had to remind Joshua there. He said, didn't I tell you this? Don't get dismayed. Have good courage. Be strong. It'll go just fine because I'm with you every step of the way. So what can hinder our success? Well, let's look at 8b. Let's see. Yeah. It's not doing it God's way is what I'm getting at here. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. There's that word. But then thou shalt also have good success. But notice also in 9a, if we stray from that, as I kind of tried to bring forth there, we get to fear and fearing and doubting and have discouragement and so forth. That can hinder it. But God has commanded us to go forward trusting him, doing it his way. Now let's see how this turns out with the fifth C, and that's the consequence. The consequence. And by the way, there are always consequences to everything we do or don't do, right? There's good consequences, and there's bad consequences. What do we want to strive for with the Lord? Good consequences. We also do when we think about the fleshly side of things, but again, that should not be our primary focus. God will give us and give us as he wills. But our primary focus for us today is not to leave here on the fleshly side, but to leave here on the spiritual side, okay? And so the consequences, I already read some of this, but he says there, if you do it my way in 8b, then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. By the way, that's how we're successful and prosperous in God. And 9b, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a promise, once again, that God gives us, that that'll be the consequence. So prosperity and success, in particular, in this case, God's prosperity is promised. Now, this brings us to the end of this message, but you've got those five C's, and I hope that we'll all consider these in our lives today, both now and as we leave. But how does this help us to evaluate where we're at today? Well, it's simply said, we need to sort through our lives and see where our priorities lie. I think that every one of us in this room wants to succeed. Maybe all of us are struggling with the success of the world, but I pray today that we'll leave here and think, am I successful with the Lord? And have I learned just the basic things that will cause me to have that type of success with him? The answer to that is, I hope we will consider it, and I believe that we have got the basic principles of doing it his way and understanding what he has planned in our lives and by faith walking with him. Hopefully it will help us to evaluate this morning. But I have to close with this, folks. What is the basis, really, of receiving God's success and prosperity in yourself? Well, it comes down to one simple thing. These all apply to a believer, a person of faith that we've talked about this morning. But on the possibility that there could be someone here today who has never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's the first step to success and prosperity. If you are here, if there would be one here today apart from the Lord, yes, a believer can get off on the wrong track of these things too. But friend, you will never reap the true success and prosperity of God as an unbeliever. Because it is temporal. I mentioned earlier, there may be people that have very nice things in this world, but do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and are headed for hell. The basis of real prosperity must be in the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And your part in that. By the way, Joshua was not forced to do this, and you can read the rest of the story on that. But Joshua chose to what? to receive what God had called him to do. I want you to know today that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's what the Bible says. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should get turned around, that should come to repentance and realize I'm living for the wrong things. If that is the case in your life today, this is the basis of true success, to be a child of God, to be born again in Jesus Christ. And that is simply accomplished, once again, by acknowledging that we are sinners. And who can't acknowledge that? The proof is in the pudding. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And we know it. We can examine our thought life, our practice, whatever the case. We know we're marred people as descendants of Adam, but we know there is a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins because he loved us. And he tells us, take me, you know, receive my forgiveness. And realize what I did, the gift for you on Calvary's cross, I want you to have it. And you know what, folks? Even if we never accomplish one other thing, it is a good work when we're saved. In Jesus' eyes, you become a child of God. You're successful in the eyes of the King. I plead with you today, you know, John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, it's not religion, should not perish. Folks, we're a perishable item in our flesh. Fleshly success perishes. It rusts, the moths get in it, corrupt it. But our salvation is eternal. And realize what 17 and 18 say as well. It says this. This is what I want you to know today. Basically, everyone that's alive has a walking eternal death sentence until they're born again in Jesus Christ. You know? But God is not willing that any would perish. And he wants us to come under, again, that forgiveness that God allows and has wonderfully given to those, again, that we might have eternal success in him. I pray today that the Spirit will move on your heart about these issues in your life. But the bottom line is we need to receive and obey the word, which is Jesus, and also his written word that is found in the scriptures today. Success in God's eyes can be had. And by the way, folks, it can be increased today if we do it God's way. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 795. I do not pick these hymns, but this is another Fanny Crosby hymn. But maybe you find yourself in this position today, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, and you've heard maybe this morning a little bit of God's word, and you want that eternal, you want God's prosperity and success in your life. Don't let the time pass. That's what Fanny was writing about here. She says, Lord, don't go past me. I need you now. Call on him and take him now. And if you're here today as a believer in Christ, a born-again child of God, and you're struggling with these things in your life, let me just reconfirm again what the scriptures say. You better worry about success with the Lord versus the other stuff. The rest of it will come second nature, if it is to be from the generous hand of God. Either way today, don't let Jesus go by. Bring him into your life. He wants to be there today with you on this journey. Let's sing the first stanza. Pass. Stanza today, but is there anyone today like Joshua and Caleb that'll step out by faith and say, Jesus, I need your help today. Maybe to be saved, but also if you're struggling about these very issues in your life. Let me tell you, if you'll step out to Jesus, he'll be here today. And there are people here that can help you. Once again, we all need help. And by the way, I stand here every week because I need to. I'm in need. You admit that to the Lord today, you'll see the success come about in your life. Stanza four, you come today. Thou, the spring of all my cause.